Episode number 155.
I think the key is buying right. You're going to make your money on the buy. That's like the old saying in real estate. You make your money on the buy,
right?
Because I don't care what asset you buy. It doesn't matter if it's a piece of land, car, you know, a trinket. If you buy anything 25 cents on the dollar, there's someone else on the other end of that deal.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the B-Roll Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff. Folks, I'm freaking pumped up today because we're going to make you some money, possibly. And like I've always dreamed of, we're going to find you the right piece of land, because we're bringing you our featured guest today, Mark Podolsky. Mark, are you ready to be real?
Travis Huff, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. My man is the land geek, and a little bio behind Mark is armed with only $3,000. And, you know, a lot of fear probably, as well as not very much, experience in the real estate industry. He bought his first few parcels of land in 2001. And now today, Mark is the owner of Frontier Properties. And they basically are helping clients and also themselves do successful land investing. And he's been buying and selling land since 2001, as well as by focusing, obviously, smarter. So we're going to get some of his tactics in there, as well as he's done over 5,000 land deals, folks, at returning a ROI, which is that money return on the investment, of over 300% on his cash flips and over 1,000% on his deals where he is doing the self-financing, right?
That's right.
My man is doing it up. And basically, he's going to maybe talk to us about how you can find us some deals. So, Mark, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. How's your day going today?
Travis, my day's amazing.
That is awesome, brother. That is awesome. You're out in the Phoenix area?
I am.
Beautiful Phoenix area. So, my first question is, this is my first thing. I was looking at the bio, like kind of taking it all in. And even myself thinking, man, this is something I would love to do. I would love, people are... You know, they buy a piece of land out here, let's just say in Fresno and Madera or one of these areas, and it grows. And next thing you know, they're building a Target on it. You know, that's the dream at the end of the day. I've always had that dream. But there's probably a lot of other ways to make money in buying land, right?
No, there definitely is. And the model you just described is, you know, the typical, we call the hockey stick model.
Yeah, like the dream model.
Yeah. You're like a land banker, you buy a piece of land, and, you know, like if you look at a hockey stick, it's real flat, and all of a sudden it shoots up, and that's where development happens.
Right.
And, old Jed's a millionaire. What we like to do is we want to get people out of what I call solo economic dependency, which means if they're not working, they're not making any money.
Right.
And what I found was that this is the ultimate subscription model, because it's a one-time sale. You get passive income every single month, and you don't have anything physical, nothing to repair, no renters to deal with,
right?
No renovations, no rehabs, no rodents. And, you know, it's not sexy at all. And it's automated 90% with software and systems.
Wow.
So essentially, I've got clients, you know, they're doing over 10 grand a month passive income, working an hour or two a day.
Wow. That's crazy. Is that what you primarily do, is kind of help also clients as well, kind of train them and understand the secrets to the land game?
Well, I'm a professional land investor myself, so I've got my own land investing business.
Right.
And then I give back. I help people, you know, learn how to do what I do. And then I've got a software business as well.
Oh, okay.
So I like to keep busy. I just wrote Dirt Rich. So I wrote a book about what I do.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm trying to give back. I mean, look, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, after, you know, I've been doing something for 10 years, let's say, you know, land investing, none of my land investors ever came to me and said, Mark, you changed my life with this land investment. They liked the land, but after I started teaching people how to create this passive income where it exceeds their fixed expenses, and then they're working because they want to,
right,
not because they have to. I can die now in peace. Like I've helped enough people. It's really the most professionally gratifying thing I've ever done.
Mm. Helping people.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Because there's so many people out there that are just like trying to sell you some quick course that really like doesn't really help you.
No, absolutely. And so, you know, we like to think of ourselves as the purple cow of that.
Ooh, right? Nice. There you go.
So, you know, you got all these brown cows that, you know, you've seen the infomercials on TV.
Absolutely.
Like, they make it look so easy.
Right.
Like, you know, we're real. In fact, in my webinar, I'm like, look, if you want get rich quick, you can drop off now because right. This ain't it.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes time and effort.
Well, I mean, tell me something that doesn't. That's worth doing.
Yeah, unless you play the lottery and get lucky, which is a luck. It's like there's a luck thing in everything. But yeah, I mean, the more you work at something, the better you get too. And that's why you got the experience. You've been doing this in 2001, so that's 17 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, before that, I was you know, a miserable investment banker specializing in merger. Okay. Yeah, like mergers, acquisitions. I hated it. I mean, I hated my job so much, Travis. I wouldn't get the Sunday blues anticipating Monday coming around. I'd get the Friday blues.
Wow.
Anticipating the weekend going by really fast and having to be back at work on Monday.
Right.
And so my firm hires this guy, and then he's telling me that as a side hustle, he's going to these tax deed auctions. He's buying up raw land, pennies on the dollar, and he's making a 300% return on his investment. And Travis, I'm looking at companies all day long. And a great company has 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow, right? Great company. Your average company is 10%.
Right.
And I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%.
Wow.
So I had $3,000 saved up for car repairs. I go to this auction. I buy up 10 half-acre parcels, an average price of $300 each. I do exactly what he says to do. I put them up online. They all sell for an average price of over $1,200 each. It worked.
Wow.
So I took all that money and went to another auction where I live in Arizona. And again, this is 2000. There's no one in the room. I'm buying up lots. I'm buying up acreage for nothing. And then over the next 6 months, I sold all that property. I made over $90,000.
Wow.
So I go to my wife. I'm like, honey, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to be a full-time land investor. Wow. And she says, absolutely not. She's pregnant. She's like, what?
Oh,
she's like, no. I'm like, fine. So I did it part-time.
Yeah.
It took me 18 months for the land investing income
to kick
in, exceed the investment banking income, and then I quit. Wow. And I've been doing it full-time ever since.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So is the key finding the deal in the tax deed auction?
Well, let me walk you through it. So, Travis, you're in Fresno, right?
Yep.
All right. So let's just say, for example, that you own 10 acres of land in Texas.
Okay.
Right. And then, but you're in Fresno. So number one, you're already advertising to me that you have no emotional attachment to that raw land.
Right.
You're in California, the property's in Texas. And then let's assume you owe $200 in back taxes on that property. Right. When we don't pay for something, we don't value it in the same way as we do our other things. And so you're distressed in some way. And I don't know what's going on with you, but you haven't paid your property taxes. And the treasurer in that county is sending you notices every month that if you don't pay your taxes, you're eventually going to lose that property to a tax deed auction or a tax lien investor. So what I'll do, Travis, is I'll look at the comparable sales on that 10-acre parcel. Let's say that it's $10,000, right?
Okay.
And all I'm going to do is divide by four. And that's going to get me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety.
Right.
So the most I'm going to pay for your property is $2,500.
Gotcha.
Well, $2,500 for you is better than nothing.
Right.
So you accept it. Now, in reality, when we send out these offers, 3 to 5% of people accept our quote unquote top dollar offer.
Yeah.
So you accept it. And then what I'm going to go through is due diligence or this in-depth research, right? Number one, I want to make sure you still own the property.
Right.
Number two, I want to make sure the back taxes are only $200. You know, they're not going to kill my margin. Number three, I want to make sure there's no breaks in the chain of title. Number four, I want to make sure there's no liens or encumbrances, clouding title. Number five, I want to make sure that there's something compelling about the property. Why would someone else want to buy that property?
Right.
And so I'm going to go through this whole checklist, and I outsource this to the Philippines now, and I pay about $11 for due diligence.
Wow.
They provide me the plat map, the GIS map, the Google Earth aerial maps. They do the whole title search for me. They're plugged into an American title company. And so we get all that done. Everything checks out. And then I buy that property from you for $2,500. And then I'm going to sell this property, Travis, 30 days or less.
Wow.
Right? And guess who's going to buy it from me first? I got a built-in best buyer.
The same guy.
No, 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 not the same guy. You just sold it to me. You don't want it anymore. Okay. What was once an asset to you is now a liability, but there's somebody else that's going to want it first.
Your neighbor.
You know what it is?
Your neighbor.
Your neighbor, you got it. The neighbors. Yeah. So I sent out neighbor letters saying, hey, here's your opportunity.
Yep.
Protect your privacy, protect your view.
Right.
Know your neighbor. And oftentimes they'll buy it, and they'll buy it for $10,000 or $12,000.
Wow.
Right. And then if they pass, I'll go to my buyer's list. It's my buyer's list passes. I'll go to a little website you've probably never heard of called Craigslist.
Yeah.
It's the 10th most trafficked website in the United States. I might go to another little website that you've probably never heard of called Facebook.
Yeah.
Buy sell groups in the marketplace. And the way I'm going to sell it is I'm going to ask for a $2,500 down payment, and then I'm going to make it a car payment. So I want to get my money out on the down payment or 6 months of the down. And then I might say it's $449 a month, 9% interest over the next 84 months.
Gotcha.
Right? So now I've created a passive income stream, $449 a month, 9% interest over the next 84 months, no tenants, no toilets, right?
It's amazing.
Nothing to worry about. And we automate it. So I use a software system called geekpay.io that's a one-time set and forget it. So I don't even have to manage the note.
Wow.
And that automates it, because my whole philosophy in life is I can always make more money, but I can't get more time.
Right.
And so with software, we've automated this entire process from the front end to the back end, and then using VAs to do the rest. It's really
That's amazing.
Phenomenal. So then how many of these land notes can I create before my passive income exceeds my fixed expenses?
Right.
And then, you know, we're working because we want to.
That's amazing. So is the key getting the money back on the purchase and the down payment?
I think the key is buying right.
Buying right.
You're going to make your money on the buy. That's like the old saying in real estate. You make your money on the buy.
Right.
Right. Because I don't care what asset you buy. It doesn't matter if it's a piece of land,
right,
a car, you know, a trinket. If you buy anything 25 cents on the dollar,
right,
there's someone else on the other end of that deal.
Yeah, that is the key.
That's the key. Yeah.
And that's the hard part. I think the easier part is, like you said, doing the software and doing all that. The hard part where you're going to have to work in this business is going to have to be to find the deal.
Yeah, you got to find the deal and you got to price it right, because I don't want to be in the appraisal business. I don't want to be like the housing guys saying, I'm interested in buying your house. Well, I'm interested in selling my land. What, right. You know, now I'm in the appraisal business and we're negotiating. We actually sent an actual offer. So it's really important that you understand how to do that math and get those comps right, because in land, comps are all over the place. It's an inefficient market.
Yeah.
So you want to take the lowest comp and divide by four.
Lowest and divide by four.
Yeah. And then if your response rate's under 3%, you got to raise your offer. Gotcha. So the metrics really help dictate that front end of the business.
And how far would you send that note out to those neighbors? How far would you send out that?
I'd send it out to everybody. Everyone within that, let's say, a mile radius.
All right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So anyone that lives in a mile within that place are getting some sort of note to say, hey.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Expand your farm, whatever it is, whatever the message may be, or as well as just have your protection, your privacy. That's what you're saying too.
Exactly.
Got you. That's so interesting. It's very fascinating.
Yeah,
all different ways to make money in real estate, you know? And so the land thing is interesting because I like the fact that operating, you know, like you talked about the you know, unlike if you're operating an apartment complex, you got a lot more liability on there. You got to service the thing.
Oh, man.
The land just sits there.
Can you imagine having an apartment complex, the brain damage involved in that?
Right.
Now, let alone, you know, raising the capital, getting investors.
Yes.
Dealing with the banks. Now you've got, you know, a physical structure you got to deal with. Now you got to deal with all the tenants and their issues. And then you got to buy it right.
Right.
You know, right now, if you want to buy multifamily, you're looking at a 5 cap. Yeah, that's 5% on your money.
Yeah. Not that good.
It's not that great.
Not that good.
I'd rather
especially if you're doing a seller financing where you're getting 9% interest too.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather make 1,000% on my money. You know, with no competition. I mean, let's face it.
Right.
You're not going to go on the HGTV or the DIY network and see me on Flip This Land. It's just me in front of a computer.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just working the numbers. You're just working the numbers on it, you know. And mm-hmm. The cool thing for you is it pays you a nice income and you enjoy it. you obviously find the fun in it, you know, and you're obviously transferring your knowledge to new students of the game too. So you can start small money too. That's the good thing about this kind of real estate, folks, right?
Oh my gosh. You don't have any money. I had a client, Paul, he was broke. And all he could afford was the mailers. Wow. So he gets this deal in upstate New York. He's like, Mark, I can't afford the property. I'm like, that's okay. I'm like, you know, this is, there's no one else behind you, Paul. I'm like, just tell him it's going to take you 90 days to close.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll close in 90 days. I was like, okay. So he calls the seller. He's like, I'm going to close in 90 days. I'm like, now just send out those neighbor letters.
Yes.
So the neighbors want to buy it. He locks it up for $5,000. The neighbors want to buy it for 15 cash.
Wow.
He makes himself $10,000 just on sending out
flyers.
Being
strategic with some spend some time. And so the flyer, there's a key probably to that too then, right? Keeping it simple obviously you have some maybe technique into the flyer too, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you want to get attention for sure. I mean, you know, it's got to be well written.
Right. Yeah, there's the cool thing about this is that it is not hard to operate, and you're not going to be out a lot. Let's be real. I mean, some clients will say, "Hey, go big," but then you could be in bankruptcy. You know, so that's not a go big strategy.
I start with $3,000. I had a buddy start with $800. He's a multimillionaire.
Wow.
I mean, you don't need a lot of money.
It's the work behind it too, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just gotta work at it consistently.
So I got two questions in my mind. I got two great questions here actually for you.
Sure.
Is it better for me to find a land deal far, far away, or do I need to find something close to home?
Well, let's just, you know, keep it real, Travis, right?
Yeah.
Nobody wakes up and thinks to themselves, boy, I'd really like some raw land today in Iowa.
Right.
Unless you live in Iowa.
Right.
Right? But California, Florida, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, Oregon, Washington. These are fast-growing states. These are the sunshine states.
Right.
Right? And there's an abundance of inexpensive raw land there.
Yeah.
So those are the areas that only places that I really focus are those areas. Right? And I'm also going to avoid Superfund sites like Pennsylvania or New Jersey where, you know, there's environmental issues that I could end up buying as well.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I've made money in the Midwest, but I'd rather focus on, you know, areas where I know people want to buy.
Right. Where you know there's going to be, because you're looking for a quicker turnaround on getting your money back.
Exactly.
So, okay. So then the next one is, how do you find the deals? I mean, I know it's you. Where are you finding that someone is distressed on their taxes? Is there a place?
Oh, you just go to the county. You go to that county and you ask for the list. So you go to the county treasurer and say, I want the list of everyone that owes back taxes in the county.
Wow.
It's public information.
Wow.
And then you sort that list by use code. So VL for vacant land, let's say, right?
Right.
And now you've got a list of all the properties that are just raw land.
Right.
And that's where you're going to start with your offers.
Got you. Is it better to start there than look on like a land and listings or one of these places that probably has a broker involved and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's different. I mean, those are people that are trying to sell their land. If you get a broker,
right?
Right. That's not going to really give you market value.
The same kind of returns.
Yeah. 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 You want to go straight to the owners when you're selling. Now, you're selling, if you want to hire a broker to do it for you, you know, you better have like a $1 million ranch.
Yes. Yes.
The broker's not going to get interested in selling a piece of property for you for $20,000.
Right.
Right. Right. Like they want to sell houses. They want to make a big commission.
Yes.
So in our niche, it's kind of, you know, for sale by owner of stuff.
Got you.
But but there's all types of marketing sites like landsofamerica.com, landandfarm.com, landmodo.com, landhub. Like it's a big market.
And Land and Farm, is those people also maybe for sale by owner?
It depends on the kind of property. So some are for sale by owner, some are big land realtors that are selling those bigger properties.
Those big lands. But if it's a smaller piece of land, most likely it's actually the owner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Would you say that that's a good place to start too, or just the straight up look at the tax lien first?
Well, okay. Again, you know, we got two sides of the equation, right? So we're buying and then we're selling. So when I'm buying, I don't want to start there. But when I'm selling, Right. I'm going to go through that list that I just talked about, right? So it's going to go neighbors,
right?
My buyers list, Craigslist, Facebook, and then what we call the lands.
Yeah.
To market.
The land list. And you put it on there.
Exactly. We could put it on there.
Got you. That's awesome, man. And so you figured out a way to do this at a scalable method for yourself where you're doing this all the time, every week, you're finding new deals and investing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just completely automated. Absolutely.
Wow. It's completely automated. See, that's a fascinating thing. Is
I work.
The business is to automate.
Yeah, I work about 2 hours a week in Frontier Properties, my land investing business.
Wow.
And all I'm going to do is talk with the team, how many offers went out, how many deals are pending, how many deals did we sell?
Wow.
That's it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then maybe I'll approve a deal.
Also bring deals to you and you kind of look at them and improve it.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's, yeah, exactly. I mean, I want to make sure
they're not just automated going on.
Yeah. Exactly.
I can use my man's strategies. My man's got too much in the game on this one. He's got that's cool, man. Yeah. I'm always fascinated by people that have figured out a way to automate more of their businesses.
Yeah. I mean, it's the best time ever to be in business. I mean, technology is incredible right now.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of also just taking and embracing that this is where we're at and we got to move forward.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the scariest thing for a lot of businesses that they have a hard time adapting to this, you know? If you're a new startup, for instance, you could just, you know, pop it in right away because this is the norm. But if you've never done it before, then it's like, wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just a different mindset.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll buy anything now that'll save me time.
Right.
Heck, when I park, Travis, I don't even pay for park. I don't even park anymore. I just valet park.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to circle around the mall
right.
for 10 minutes? That's 10 minutes of my life. Life is short.
Yeah, life is short. And you're motivated by that, too. That's part of what motivates you, too. I see here in the show notes. That's part of what gives you this passion and helps maybe change your professional life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're all going to pass. I was watching the George H.W. Bush kind of stuff sporadically throughout the day, the last couple of days. And I mean, that man is amazing because his message is like, you do a little more each day. And I mean, he's like ran the CIA and was vice president and president and had a huge business. And just like, it's truly amazing what one person can do. And special that we kind of memorize people like that, you know, that did a great job for us.
It's, he had an amazing life, but like, I love that Tony Robbins quote, we overestimate what we can accomplish in a year. We underestimate what we can accomplish in five.
Right.
And, you know, it's true.
Yeah. Did you ever think you'd have the kind of business you do now with just when you started with that first $3,000, $2,500?
No, gosh, no. I just wanted to quit my job.
Wow.
I mean, I never thought that I'd be doing what I'm doing today.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I talk to my wife about it all the time. And, you know, I work 3 days a week. So Mondays and Fridays are what I call my terminal days. So I pretend that, you know, if this is my last day on earth,
how
do I want to spend it?
Wow.
And usually it's just, you know, we hang out together or, you know, I'm hanging with the kids and,
right.
you know, I'll read. I mean, simple things, but, you know, I really want to spend the end of that day doing the things I really want to do.
Yeah. Quality time.
Right. Right. And so that's what this, you know, business has afforded me is that luxury of time.
That's amazing. You're getting me motivated, dude. I'm like, we need to figure something out. We need to figure something out, my man. Cause I'm into investing, you know, and stocks and crypto and all this kind of stuff is taking some major hits this year. And obviously real estate might, you know, in the future, but it's a good business. It's still a good business no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, this is a recession-proof business in a sense because right. you got a massive market and just about everybody can afford a car payment. Now, I will say in 2008, when I was doing this and we were in the Great Recession, my business really didn't take a hit until 2010.
Yeah.
And I lost about 40% of my income. Now, I was dumb, Travis. I mean, I had a big house and big cars and a big, you know, like I had Parkinson's law of money. So the more money I made, the more I spent.
Right.
But the company was still profitable. I just had to pare down my lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of got a little out of control.
Which can happen sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it was probably nice that you got a chance to enjoy yourself too, you know? So flip way to look at
it. It was a little, I mean, I had a serious sort of existential crisis because I kind of thought like, oh, all this stuff's going to make me happy.
Yeah.
And I kept, you know, but you know, oh, well, the house isn't making me happy, but maybe the car will.
Right.
And I just kept, you know, it was like retail therapy. And then I kind of figured out like, nothing out there is going to make me happy.
And nothing matters except like,
yeah,
just what you said, like on your terminal day, it's like time with your wife and your kids and reading and just the things you enjoy. It's like those, most of those things don't cost anything.
No, it's really quality relationships. Like now I'm meeting you. I've got a new relationship in my life.
Absolutely. And the guests get some value. The people that are going to listen to this, the 1,000+ people, or maybe let's say 10,000 people that listen to it because we're going to have an epic show. You know, those people are all going to be, you know, loving it, you know?
Yeah. That's
the most amazing thing is, and then maybe possibly you're going to have one of them turn into your students and then you make them into a millionaire. Maybe it's, Mr. Uncle T Huff here on the phone here on the line. But my man, we're about to take you now into our top 10. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Yeah. Instagram or Twitter?
Ooh, I'm old Twitter.
Twitter. Chicken or steak?
Chicken.
Chicken. Laptop or iPhone?
Ooh. Equal? Laptop, equal. Laptop and iPhone? Yeah, both.
Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Nice. I like being able to curate things. There's a lot of putting podcasts on there. They're getting deep now. It's cool.
Yeah.
I think they're going to maybe do stuff with like education and things like that too. I feel like they could really get deeper in that, like how Audible is, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like they could take on that business maybe. Movies or video games?
Movies.
Reading books or listening to books?
Listening to books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Stocks or real estate? We already know
real estate. I can't control the stock market, but I can control almost every aspect of real estate.
It's your time too. You know it now. You know it now.
Yeah.
Oceans or lakes?
Oceans.
I like it. I like it. When you wake up in the morning, Mark, why do you love being you?
Gosh, my family. I love my family. I love waking up where I live and having the opportunity to help people and just life's amazing. I love being me.
That's awesome, bro.
You know, if you're a J. Cole fan, no such thing as a life that's better than yours.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
I always like the quote, like, you are the hero of the movie. Like,
yeah, it's true.
You are the superhero. You are the Spider-Man. You are whatever that is. That's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
After a long day, what is one of your favorite meals?
Ooh, anything my wife's cooking.
Oh, but she's a good cook. I got you.
She's a great cook, yeah. But she made this chicken the other night. It's called Zub's Chicken. Have you ever been to Zub's in Newport Beach?
No.
But she's like this famous chef, and she's got a cookbook, and it's really good.
Zub's Chicken.
Zub's Chicken. Z-O-V-S. Zub's.
I'll look up and see if they have a recipe online. You're getting me intrigued. I like cooking. I like finding new recipes each week. That's how I like doing that.
Yeah,
something fun. Mix it up. What is a skill you want to master? Is there something you're trying to master this next year? 2019 is coming.
Well, I think I'm gonna write the sequel to Dirt Rich. Dirt Richer. I want to get better writing.
Got you. Because it's like I was watching Seth Godin. Like he was saying like it's bullshit to say you're not a good writer. It's just you haven't done it enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your first 50,000 words will suck. He said. That's a lot of words. He's like, I paid my first three, presentations I gave, I paid to be there.
Yeah.
Like he paid to be there. You know, it's like pay the dues, folks. You can't be Seth Godin. He's a great writer. He can write like two sentences and it makes sense. And it's like, it hits you in a way, or he could write a paragraph or he could write a book. You know what I'm saying? Like he can write, but it's not it's not because it's his first time though.
Right. He's the one that wrote Purple Cow.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite app or a tool that you like to use on a daily basis?
Oh, my gosh. So you want to get geeky, Travis?
Let's get geeky. Let's go.
All right. So right now, my three favorite tools and apps are Airtable.com.
Airtable.
Smartsheet.com.
Smartsheet.
And I'm in Zapier.com like every day.
Oh, yes. That one is very cool. Now, what does Zapier help you with specifically? Is there something that really helps?
So Zapier connects everything so I can automate things.
Yes, I know.
So again, if I can just save 5 seconds for the rest of my life,
right,
by taking, you know, 5 minutes out of my day,
right,
to integrate this or automate this, and eliminate that task for the rest of my life, I want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. They have one on there. It's like anyone that notify or mentions you on your Twitter notification, it saves it in a Google sheet.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, you would never do that. Like, let's just have tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the world's moving to AI. It's amazing. I get scared in some ways with my business, but I'm like, well, if it does, then it does.
I think if you own a business,
yeah,
you're going to be positioned. If you have a job,
right,
and your job can be
eliminated
by machine learning or AI, that's a problem.
Yeah. No, you know? Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. It's going to be really a serious problem. I think in the next 10 to 20 years, we're going to have to really... people are going to be doing different things, and they need to get started with my man and you know, get some passive income on their own outside of work.
Yeah, I mean, they got to own assets and they start a business, and they can take advantage of, you know, the AI so that they don't have to have employees. They can just use computers.
It's amazing. Do you think there'll be an AI that eventually like helps you find deals?
Well, I think that it's there now, actually. Yeah. There's software there now that kind of helps you find deals and heat maps of where people are buying. I mean, it's all there now. Wow. I think that in the future, AI could, you know, essentially help with pricing matrices a little bit better.
Got you.
You know, I can imagine a day where if I'm talking to you as a potential, let's say, buyer, right? I might be able to pay a service that connects to you, you know, from a bioengineering standpoint. And all of a sudden I start talking about this 40 acres in Arizona and your heartbeat starts to elevate.
Right.
And this software tells me Travis's heartbeat starting to elevate. I know you want that property.
Yeah.
Right.
That'd be crazy.
It's crazy. So I think, you know, the companies that own this kind of, it's also scary, right?
It is.
But, it's coming whether
it's
we
reality.
Like it.
It's reality. It's like, we're
yeah. All, yeah.
We're, it's going to happen. So don't yeah. like, you know, when you start typing on Google, how do you think it finishes like what you're going to say? Or even Amazon, when you start typing it on Amazon, why does it know what you're going to pretty much say next?
Yeah. I mean,
it's the same kind of deal. It's like, it's a great tool. It's actually a great tool if you look at it that way, but
yeah. I mean, if you look at Facebook, I mean, we're the product.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy and scary what they've done. Same thing with Google, but you know, they're making, you know, billions on advertising.
Oh yeah.
But what happens when they really can lock down that data and you know, their algorithms know us better than we know ourselves. And then we just simply like the way GPS does, right? Like I can't remember the last time I actually had to think my way to a destination. I just trust GPS. Yeah. I might trust a Google algorithm to choose for me, you know, the big things in life.
Right.
like it's doing a better job.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it just helps us. It helps us. I think that's the way to look at for me in AI. Like you said, if you're an owner or if you have an owner mindset to your life, then the AI should help you no matter what you're doing. And if it's replacing certain boring parts of your job, then you need to spend more time at the creative parts that the AI probably can't do.
Yeah.
Which I think those kind of jobs will never be eliminated. People that create stuff, people that show value and provide empathy and things like that, that I don't see us talking to a robot about empathy. You know, if you're a psychologist, I don't know. I don't see that someone wants to pay that, you know, or if not, they just talk to their phone. They wouldn't need to talk to anyone.
Well, so, I don't know. I mean, if you saw that movie, Her,
I know. Yeah.
It's scary. I mean, but you know, it's a great book, Travis, that I just read, Yuval Noah Harari, 21 principles or 21 lessons for the 21st century. It's a great book. And it talks a lot about these issues.
Right.
21 lessons for the 21st century.
I'm going to put that in the show notes.
You'll love it.
That's awesome, brother. What is one of your favorite things to do with the fam at night? Do you like to watch a certain show? Do you like to do a certain thing at the fam?
Well, I've got 3 teenagers now.
Yes.
So, you know,
hard to get their attention.
It's hard to get their attention. It's pretty much feeding them
yes.
and then threatening them to, you
do
know,
their homework.
do their stuff, or they're going to lose their phone or Fortnite.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, but no, I love, you know, hanging out as a family and watching a show together, a movie together, you know, hiking together.
Oh, that's nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a certain favorite hike you guys like to do?
Yeah, there's definitely one. It's Pinnacle Peak, right? Pinnacle Peak. It's right by the Four Seasons over here.
Got you.
It's pretty.
That is cool. Well, my man, I just want to thank you again for your time. You have provided an amazing energy, and I know that you're going to be continuing to help more customers, you know? And hey, man, I think you might even be able to help me, because this is something I'm very curious about. I'm very interested in this. And where is the best place for people to find you or find more about this?
Well, I think the best place to go is thelandgeek.com. And okay. You know what, Travis? I've had such a great time being on your show. If you don't mind, I'd love to give your listeners a gift.
Let's do it, man.
So if they would, they can just go to thelandgeek.com/launch kit. I'll give them our $97 passive income launch kit course.
Oh, nice.
For free.
Nice.
Yeah. So it'll give them a good start and see if it's a good fit for them or not.
Thank you, sir. Well, we want to thank you again for being on the show today, folks. You've been hanging out with my man, Mark Podolsky, and Travis Too Tall and Huff. Let's keep being real.
What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T-Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today.